Amen. Let us please stand together and read the passage. We're going to read from Book of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start from verse 9. Could you please put that up so everybody can read that? Verse 9 through 15. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Most gracious and heavenly Father God, we are thankful this evening for the opportunity you've given us just to come together, Lord Jesus, and learn of you, Lord. Lord, let us open our hearts and our minds, Father God, to learn of you. Lord, I pray that you shall increase as I decrease, that your word shall go forth and not return void, but accomplish the purpose for which you've intended it. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Well, after a few snowy Wednesdays, I guess we have a chance now to have a Wednesday night service. I'd like to thank the pastoral staff and also the teaching team for this opportunity just to share with you all. And also thank you for your time, just so I can get a chance to share. You know, sometimes we take things for granted when we don't take time to search the Word of God and really see what it has in store for us. This study has been, for me, very revealing to see how important prayer is for my own life. We heard a study from Brother Scott on adoration, and then we heard from Todd on supplication as part of prayer. Tonight, what we're going to do is look at what confession is as a part of prayer. And then next week, I will see what Thanksgiving is about. Unlocking the Christian's righteousness. Confession. We'll do this in three parts. What are we to confess in prayer? Why is it imperative to confess? And then when are we obliged to confess? Verse 12 is our theme scripture. Can you please bring up verse 12? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Wow. Show of hands, who here is debt-free, has no debts at all? Oh, good for you. One person, no debt. All right. Well, guess what? We are all, well, maybe except for one, but we are all indebted to Christ. Everybody here owes Christ. He paid it all in full. Have we ever asked ourselves how we're going to pay him back? So this is all applicable to all of us. So what are we going to say when we pray? What is this about confession that we gotta do? What is this confession we're talking about? Let's examine what it means to confess and confess by forgiveness. Let me ask a question. What does it mean to forgive. Don't show that yet. Don't show that yet. What does it mean to forgive? Yes. So my brother Jay said, it means you don't keep anything in your heart, you just forgive it, you know, forget about it too, right? That's good, okay? What did you want to say there? Okay. All right, good. Yes? To give up your right and to stop keeping a score. Great, good, good answers. How about debt? What does it mean to be indebted to somebody? What is debt? You owe them, okay. Well, let's see what the Strong's Concordance says, the definition in Greek. It says, Greek 863 says, aphaema is what it says in Greek, to forsake, lay aside, let alone, and put away. That's what forgive is. At least that's what the Greek interpretation of that is. Forsake, let alone, and put away. How about debt? 3783 says what? Ophelema is what it says in Greek. Something owed, a due, or a fault. So it's clear that we know what that definition says. But you may ask yourself, well, why should I confess? I haven't done anything wrong. Why do I need to confess to Christ when I'm praying? What if I haven't done anything? You can get rid of that now. Let's go to our first scripture. And our first section, what is, what are we to confess in prayer? Our first scripture is Romans 10, verse 9 through 10. And it reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here we see the key and the link here, that with the heart and mouth together, righteousness is established. So we cannot confess to God without our heart being right. And we cannot confess to God without speaking it. We have to have the heart and the mind in sync to unlock our righteousness. Clearly, we have to acknowledge the deity of Christ by speaking it into existence. So what do we say? Well, let's see what 1 John says. 1 John 1, verse 9. You see, there is no such thing as a sinner's prayer where you just get up and say, oh, well, whatever. Whatever the sinner's prayer is. I don't know if there's... anybody know what a sinner's prayer is? Well, I don't know what it is. But 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, right? Okay, but I guess I wrote that wrong. So here we see again here confession, forgiveness, cleansing of sin all together. The confession, the forgiveness, and the cleansing of sin has to be together. Which tells me that I cannot be cleansed
of my sins without confessing. True? I cannot be righteous without confessing. When I say confess, I'm talking about confession to God in prayer. So it is evident that in order for us to be forgiven, our sins have to be confessed. So what do we say? Any proud Catholics in here? Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. It's been 5 days since my last confession. What's that? Tell you what, I did some research on that. It's called the Sacrament of Reconciliation. The Sacrament of Reconciliation. It says it is a normative means is a standard, normal, means by which a Christian avails themselves of the mercy and grace of God for the forgiveness of sins. The two effects of confession are the sacramental forgiveness of sin through the redemption of Jesus Christ and an increase in grace that helps renew a Christian's soul and increase the ability to resist temptation. That's what the Catholics believe. No, I'm not knocking Catholics. I'm just saying that's what they believe. But what do we believe? What do we as Christians believe? What does the Bible tell us about confession? See, Jesus knew what he was talking about, didn't he? We confess our sins and our faults with our mouth for a purpose. We do so to try to redeem ourselves and each other from the issues that we've actually developed amongst ourselves. It is a healing process for us when we confess our faults to one another. And it's a way for us to get back to God when we confess our sins to God. We can't say God knows it all, so I'm not going to say anything. God knows already. He knows my heart. Everything is good. We also know one thing for sure. That is that the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, what's in our heart? And what are we confessing? So maybe if we understand the fact that our heart is the way it is, when we pray, the evidence of what is in our heart is what we're going to tell God. Let's keep in mind that confession is not just to God, but it's also to each other. I got scriptures to prove it. See, God wants us to acknowledge our transgressions before him. Yes, he knows it all. But he still wants us to acknowledge it. It takes an attitude of humility, biting the humble pie. You ever try to apologize to somebody when you know that you're right? You know that you got it right, but you just got to apologize to that person to make peace. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Anybody else felt like that before? Christ says we should be what? Peacemakers. You know, in America, we have this culture of entitlement. Sense of entitlement. Oh, you owe me this. The government owes me that. This and this and that. Christ doesn't owe us anything. We are indebted to Christ inevitably. Let's look at some scriptures that talks about the distinction between confession of fault and confession of sin. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that what? You may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. That's the purpose of our confession of our faults. Now, the Greek concordance actually outlines that. That is number 3900. It says to err unintentionally. Vice, sin, which is defined in the Greek concordance number 264 as just to err, to trespass. It doesn't qualify by saying unintentionally. That's a distinction between a fault and a sin. Confessing our faults to one another and confessing our sins to God. So you see, the essence of confessing our faults to one another is to mend our relationships with one another. You know, when the spirit is not right, sometimes it affects the body as well. You ever been thinking so hard, you're stressed out with something? How does it affect the body? Yes, it does, doesn't it? Spirit, mind, and body. And confession of sin to God is what? To restore us back to God so we can mend our relationship with God. We cannot say we are righteous if we don't confess our sins to God. I mean, how can we honestly ask ourselves when we go into prayer and pray the Lord's Prayer as it is, when our heart is on the right place? The effectual or fervent prayer that we need is what is going to redeem us of our transgressions. I don't know if about anybody heard in the news, about 3 weeks ago, there was a man who had stolen some money, a handful of quarters from a church as a kid. Anybody heard that story? Yep. Several years later, he went back to the church that he had stolen money from and wrote a $1,000 check. Say, here. I'm sorry for what I did. Here's $1,000. That man is free of his conscience. I believe God has forgiven that man. But you see, he had to come out and confess what he had done and take action on that deed. He confessed his wrongdoing. I believe that God will forgive us if we sincerely come to him in prayer, asking for forgiveness of things that we have done wrong. So can we confess without forgiving? Can we confess to God without forgiving ourselves or each other? Yeah, we could. We could do that. We could just talk, but not really feeling it. Is God going to answer our prayers? Absolutely not. Let's look at the next section of our study here tonight. Why is it imperative to confess? Why is it imperative to confess? The guilt of sin is like a stumbling block in our lives. See, the freedom of the spirit is absent. If we have that guilt, it becomes like a block between us and God. And we have to overcome that barrier. And the only way we can overcome that barrier is by looking at what the scripture says about it. Matthew 5, verse 22 through 24. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means worthless person, good for nothing person, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Wow. Those are some strong words. Anybody watch Shark Tank? One person does. I do.
It's all about business, right? For those who don't know, there's a guy in there called Kevin O'Leary, called Mr. Wonderful. Mr. Not-So-Wonderful. He is very, very abrasive. He doesn't care about anybody. How do you call young entrepreneurs, people who are coming up, who want to be businessmen, how do you tell them, you are dead to me? And you see, sometimes we treat each other like that. We treat our brothers and sisters like that sometimes. We treat them like Mr. Not So Wonderful. Say mean things to them. Make them feel bad.
Well, it's my right to tell them off.
Really? We should think about our relationship with God when we deal with our brothers and sisters. How can we say that we love God whom we have not seen, when our brothers and sisters we've seen every day, we say we love them, but we don't show that. We act like Kevin O'Leary does, Mr. Not So Wonderful. Let's continue. We'll pick it up in verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. That's what the Bible says. Leave your gift. Go and mend your relationship with your brother or sister, then come. Then come. See, God wants us to have a pure and sincere heart before Him in prayer. He doesn't want us to just come with a pretentious heart, a heart that acts like everything is okay, and expecting to get answered prayer. So maybe the reason why our prayers are not answered is probably because we are pretentious. Probably because we have aught against our brother or our sister. This is what my Bible says. This is what convicted me about this study. Genesis 50, verse 15 through 20. We're talking about why it is imperative to confess. And it reads, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You see, when we are doing wrong, or when we do somebody wrong, we always think they're out to get us. We always look it over our shoulder. And we start being insecure. And start avoiding each other. Maybe they've forgotten about it. Maybe they've forgiven you for it. But you still have that gift, that guilt. That's what happened here. Verse 16, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, confession about to happen, right? Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Sound familiar to the Lord's Prayer? See, Jesus knew what he was talking about. And what did Joseph do?
And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day. So be careful what we do to our brothers and sisters. Let's be careful. See, the act of confession begins the healing process amongst us. The act of confession begins the restoration process between us and God. How often do we harbor much pain and hate because we refuse to forgive each other? There's a story of a man, a very prominent man in his community. He was like a ladies' man. Everybody, well, not everybody, but all the women just wanted to hang out with this man. As a result of that, he fathered several children with different women. He went globetrotting. Never really developed a relationship with his children. Except, of course, for those that he had settled down with, you know, the family that he had settled down with. And then several years later, this man passed away. At his funeral, there were all kinds of people there. Siblings showed up from you know where. But guess what happened? And this is a true story. Guess what happened? There was bickering and anger among the children. Well, he took care of you. He didn't take care of us. So on and so forth. Tension at a funeral. It's been 21 years since this man's death. And today, some of those children, unsuccessful in life, they cringe and they get upset at the mention of his name. The question is, did they ever get a chance to forgive their father for not having the relationship that he should have had with his children? They never got a chance to forgive him for who he was. But who is it hurting now? The man that's been dead for 21 years? Or those that are alive today? You see, when you hold on to the hurt and pain and refuse to forgive, it carries on through your life. Today, several of those children are not as successful as they could be because they blame their father for it. Matthew 18, verse 23 through 35. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Let's say that's $10,000. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Let's read verse 26 and 27 together. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, $1. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. It's pretty clear. Compassion. Now let's turn to a neighbor on either side and say, please forgive me for my debts. Please forgive me for my debts. Okay, well, so that's not to say that if you owe your brother or sister $5,000 that you're supposed to pay it back, you're not going to pay that back. Next week, you're like, oh, well, remember that Wednesday night service? I said forgive me that debt. We're talking spiritually here. So when we pray, can we truly say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Whenever we pray this prayer, or whatever prayer we pray, can we truly say that? If we don't have compassion on one another. Because we pray this. Christ told us to pray this prayer. Compassion. Everyone here said, except for one, that at least you owe somebody. So if you owe somebody and you know you're willing to pay that person back, how much more Christ Jesus? So why is it imperative to confess? Because it heals us. Why is it important to confess? Because it frees us. And why is it important again to confess? Because it unlocks our righteousness before God. Psalm 51, verse 4 through 13. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David's prayer was a prayer of restoration. That's what our prayer should be, for God to restore us back unto him. For us to mend our relationships with each other. We have to learn to forgive others so God can forgive us. We have to learn to forgive ourselves for things that we've done that has hurt our relationships with each other. If we want God to hear our prayer. And to the last section of our study tonight, when are we obliged to confess? When are we obliged to confess? When a brother is at fault or offended. The Bible says that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such to one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, no one is better than the other. None of us is better than each other. We have to depend on each other. We have to depend on each other. We have to seek each other's cares and concerns and burdens. We are tired of the scriptures that it's not God's will that some be eased and others be burdened. If a brother offends, tell them. If we offend God, we should confess. Let's not pretend everything is okay. Oh, God knows. He knows all things. Yeah, he knows the heart also, right? Is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God expects us to confess our sins before him. So when are we obliged to confess? When there is sin or ungodliness in the land. In this case, the congregation. Scripture says it. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our prayers are never going to be answered if we fail to pray for the sins we've committed, for the things that we do against each other or against God. That wall that stands between us and God will never be broken. The scripture says it. Humility before God, honesty before God of our transgressions. That's how we are going to break that wall of partition, to unlock the righteousness before God. Excuse me. When are we obliged? Excuse me. When are we obliged to confess? Well, there is no right or wrong time to confess to God or to pray. The Bible says what? To pray without ceasing, right? See, some of us think that we got it all figured out. But let's see what the what the scripture says in Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Got it all figured out. If God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, why do we think that we can go about life on our own program without getting connected to the power source? Why do we think we can just go about and not have a conversation with God about anything in our lives? We need to see God daily to keep that relationship with him going. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we often seek God when we're in trouble. When we get in trouble, the first person to call is God. Oh, man, I got to pray about this. Oh, man, this is not good. God, forgive me. Man, I can't believe I did this. Only when we get into trouble or when we're going through some struggle, that's when we turn to him. But what happened? What happened to the people? God doesn't even know what time maintenance system is, right? PMS. Yeah. You've got to be proactive. You've got to see God ahead of the trouble. You don't wait to get in trouble before you go to God in prayer. So that's what's convicting to me about this. You've got to see God daily for us to mend our relationship with God. When we know how far in our past we've come with God, when we know where our walk is with God right now, when we know where we want to go, we cannot help but to seek God in prayer by confessing to God anything that we know is wrong and sin before him. So tonight, as we end this Bible study, it's one slide that I want us, if you don't take anything at all from this study, let's just take this with us tonight. The key to unlocking the Christian's righteousness is this: our pride. We've got to swallow our pride before God and each other. James 4:6 says, he resisted the proud. Those prayers are never going to be answered, according to the Bible, if pride stands in the way. And the second thing is love. We've got to show sincere love to God and our fellow man. How can we say we love God when we have not seen? When our brother and sister right here with us, right here, we treat them like they're nobody. Pride and love. God bless you.
Let us pray. Lord, as we leave tonight, Lord, keep us mindful of your word. Keep us mindful of what we heard tonight, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Lord, keep us in your grace. Amen. Do we have an announcement tonight?
Good evening. Amen. 49 years ago, Jeff Linger preached a message in Haiti. 49 years. Yeah. Yes. And as long as I live, I will never forget this. It was about blessing. He just got his new phone, you know, and it's still an old phone from back then. He still has it now too, right? He preached about blessing, and he said, blessing is not complete until it goes around, until it's complete. So he pulled up his phone and he says, this phone he had was a blessing from God. And he loved it, he enjoyed it. But the blessing is not complete until he uses it to call people, to encourage people, you know, to text, and you understand the message, right? You remember in January we talked about we are our brother's keepers? All right. If you don't remember, go over this message. It was about we are one body and we need to be connected. Who doesn't have a phone in this house? Who doesn't? You doesn't. You need one. You don't. You need one. Because we're going to use our phone to connect to one another. And that's what the community group is all about. If you don't want people to call you to ask you how you're doing, we miss you, start calling people. Be the caller instead of the receiver. And definitely, it starts now. We want to be connected as a family. We need, it's not like you don't see somebody and you don't see me and I don't feel like part of the body. I am part of the body. I must feel missed. I must feel appreciated. And it's happened with our phones, with our one calling another. God bless you.
Clocks are moving forward on Saturday. Again, clocks are moving forward on Saturday.
Thank you, John, for that public announcement. God bless you and good night.